Pogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue Announcer, Jeff Smith.
I am the Rogue Announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for June 1st, 2018. Can you believe it's June already? Time is flying by. This year is already going so quick. I can't keep up. And in fact, I was rushing in here just to get on the air today. And but I'm super happy to be back. And I hope everybody is enjoying the crazy weather we've had this spring. We get hot days where it's close to 90. Where you get a couple days later, we're having thunderstorms and then continued rain after the thunderstorms. And it's been quite the start to spring, and it doesn't look like it's going to change much in the near future here. So, got a couple of things we're going to cover. Of course, the sports are done at the school, so that's a lot of what we end up talking about here on Rogue Talk, and so we don't have really any of that to talk about, but that doesn't mean we won't talk a little bit about sports, and I'll save that for the end of the show so that those of you that don't like sports, you can turn it off when we get to the end. But before that, we've been hearing a lot of things in the news about different things that people have tweeted or said on their TV show, and I'm not going to get into any of the specifics of that, but it's created a lot of conversation, and a lot of it is around racism specifically, but maybe offensive material more generally. And I want to talk about what drives some of that and some of the inconsistencies we have when it comes to things like this. Like, for instance, racism. Do we give too much weight to racism? And I don't mean that it's not a bad thing. Of course, it's a horrible thing. But do we push that above other things that maybe equally horrible, but because it's not tied to race, we bring it down a level that it's just not quite as bad. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and I don't want to make it political. That's not my intent. I really want to kind of get to the issue of what's going on with, and of course, I grew up in a time where there was no internet. At least not for the general public. And Twitter was not a thing, and Facebook and the other things. And so it's kind of new territory. And so we'll kind of talk about that too, on how much weight we should give to what people are putting out on Twitter. Not that they shouldn't be held responsible for what they say. Obviously, it doesn't matter in what form you put it out there, but it's a new form of communication, and so it's a whole new world. We haven't figured out what all the rules are. So that's part of what I'm trying to get at, is that the rules, and they're not really rules. The standards or the implied standards are being applied unequally. And so you can't call them rules, because rules are the same for everybody. And these are not rules yet, because we don't know what the rules should be, and they're not being applied equally. And that doesn't make an excuse for people that say rotten things. They should be held accountable. But we also, the accountability should be equal across the board. And so I want to get into that a little bit. But there's a few things I want to, actually just a couple of things before I dive into that a little deeper. I mentioned the high school, and of course they're winding down. Graduation is right around the corner, and all the sports are done. If you weren't following along, we did carry the playoff game for the baseball team. They unfortunately lost their first round game and were eliminated from the playoffs. But it was a great season for the baseball team. They've got a lot of returning players coming back next year. And, of course, all the teams dropping down to the 2A level. So it could be an interesting year for Chieftain sports, and that includes Chieftain baseball and softball, which wrapped up their seasons. And, of course, track and field, we talked a lot about that. The Rogue Talk mascot was part of the state meet, and the Chieftains had just the two participants in that. So they would like to improve on that next year as well and send some more people to state for track and field. And, of course, we had our last live show was talking about the big controversy with the golf team and that whole situation with the... the ruling that on one hand was probably the right ruling, but had officials done a better job of being on top of things and on reacting to when they were notified about that situation, that ruling of disqualifying some of the players, including some of the Chieftain players or golfers, could have been avoided. And I would encourage you go back to that episode from a couple of weeks ago and listen to that on the website, 943thebridge.com. That's our website. And if you click on the audio tab and go to the Rogue Talk page, you can stream or download that episode or any other episode. There's a lot of good interviews on there, and I say they're good because the guests that I had have been really, really good, and it has nothing to do with the host, I assure you. But so... And I would love to hear from you, and today's a perfect day for that. The rogue announcer gets on his soapbox kind of episode. So, if you want to knock me off my soapbox and disagree with what I'm saying, or maybe you have something completely different that you want to talk about, I'm open to that too. When we're not interviewing, we don't have to keep it subject specific. And so I'm happy to take your calls. That number is 541-299-0498. Once again, 541-299-0498. And I would love to hear from you if I can remember how to use the phone system. It's been a while since I've taken a call, so we'll try not to hang up on you. But I would love to hear from you. So... getting back to the high school, as I mentioned, I kind of got off on the sports as I tend to do. But with the school year winding down, of course, the seniors won the spirit trip. And I don't want to say it's rigged, but it seems like the seniors win the spirit trip every year. So we're going to call it the senior trip. they're on their... on their reward for winning the spirit competition for the whole year. And they are off to... Six Flags in Vallejo. They left early this morning and will be back early tomorrow morning. And so they're off doing that. This week at the school, a couple of great events that have become annual events for the school to participate in. Jay from Les Schwab came over to the school on Tuesday and taught a bunch of the students some basics of car maintenance. Of course, being from Les Schwab Tire, he taught them how to change a tire. I wasn't there for it, so I didn't see all of the things that they were doing, but I'm sure they learned to check things like checking your fluids and checking your tires and changing a tire and those kinds of things that are basic car maintenance that everybody really, should know how to do. And so we want to thank Les Schwab for doing that and, teaching the kids some valuable lessons. And also this week was the Elderberry cleanup, where a good portion of the student body headed up to Elderberry Campground, and they do a cleanup every year up there. I think they also do some other learning things, like fire building, tent, putting a tent up, things like that. So it's a great day out at Elderberry. And again, also the cleanup. So we want to kind of salute the school for those events this week. And again, it's getting close to time for graduation. It's right around the corner. Now, I've got some events I want to plug. I think we'll save that toward the end of the show. And so I think we'll take a break here before I dive deep into my super controversial subject. We'll take a break and be back with more Rogue Talk.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Trump says he won't impose any additional sanctions on North Korea for the time being. Mr. Trump says we had hundreds of new sanctions ready to go, but he says he won't impose them until the talks break down. The president is referencing ongoing discussions with North Korea in preparation for a June 12th summit in Singapore with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Another month of strong hiring has driven U.S. unemployment down to 3.8%, just a tick away from the level last seen in 1969, when Detroit still dominated the auto industry and the Vietnam War was raging. Employers added 233,000 jobs in May. That's up from 159,000 in April. That's according to the Labor Department. On Wall Street, the Dow by 219 points. The NASDAQ rose 112. The S&P advanced 29. This is SRN News.
Broadcasting to Rogue River, Gold Hill, Weimer, and beyond. 94.3 The Bridge.
With us in sports, I'm Patrick Foss. Jaylen Brown scored 23 points, and the Boston Celtics withstood a 42-point night by LeBron James to beat Cleveland 107-94 Tuesday night to take a 2-0 lead in the NBA Eastern Conference Final. Celtics coach Brad Stevens says his team responded well to LeBron James' 21-point first quarter when they trailed by four.
It's all about responding. They're going to make their runs. They're going to have their moments. The most encouraging thing to me was that we weathered that storm, because it's easy to kind of fall apart there.
The Celtics had never blown a 2-0 series lead in the playoffs. Game 3 is Saturday at Cleveland. Game 2 of the Western Conference Final is tonight in Houston, with the Rockets hosting Golden State. The Warriors won the first game Monday. In the NHL, Capitals goaltender Braden Holtby allowed 4 goals on 23 shots as Washington lost at home to Tampa Bay 4-2. Holtby knows his team still has a 2-1 series lead.
We still have our confidence. We're just that little bit off tonight. That happens, and we know we're going to come back stronger.
Game 4 is Thursday at Washington. This is SRN Sports. The National League right-hander Jordan Lyles came within 5 outs of the first perfect game in San Diego Padres history before allowing a single to Trevor Story with 1 out of the 8th in a 4-0 victory against Colorado. Miami beat Los Angeles 4-2. It was Chicago 3-2 over Atlanta. Arizona 2, Milwaukee 1, San Francisco 5, Cincinnati 3. In the American League, Houston regained first in the West after a 5-3 win over Los Angeles. Astros shortstop Carlos Correa says their one-game lead over the second-place Angels could be swung back the other way in the series finale today.
They have a great team. We have a great team as well, and we got to keep playing the way we play.
Oakland beat Boston 5-3. It was Detroit 9-8 over Cleveland. Tampa Bay 6, Kansas City 5, Seattle 9, Texas 8 in 11 innings. Interleague finals, the Pirates over the White Sox 7-0. The Mets beat the Blue Jays 12-2. It was Minnesota 4, St. Louis 1. Philadelphia, Baltimore is rained out. The New York Yankees at Washington game was suspended by rain after 5.5 innings with a score tied at 3. The game is scheduled to continue at 5:05 p.m. today before the finale of the two-game set. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and trying to live up to the title of the show today, we're going to dive into not just racism in the country, although that's a big part of what we're going to talk about, but just generally the way we treat one another in the media, and I don't know if you call it a double standard. That's how some people are characterizing it, but at least an inconsistent standard that's being used to deal with when someone says something that's offensive or crude or any kind of thing like that. And usually it has to do with attacking another person in some way, although, you know, just plain being crude, I think, is something we should avoid in any kind of media. So of course, most of you know, a lot of this started this week with, you know, Roseanne put out a tweet, and it referred to comparing someone to Planet of the Apes. And of course, Valerie Jarrett was a part of the Obama organization, the Obama team at the White House. And even before that, she's been actually, partnered with President Obama for a long, long time throughout his political career. She's, you know, really kind of his right-hand woman, so to speak. And I don't know a lot about her. I honestly, until this thing happened, I don't even think I realized that she was an African-American woman. Well, actually, maybe I should back up. I know some people don't like the term, but she's black. But I don't even know that she's African-American. We kind of throw that term around a lot because it's become the more politically correct way to say it. But it's not accurate in a lot of instances of people that are dark-skinned that you would consider a black person, or you might call an African-American person. They're not from Africa. They're not African. And in some cases, they're not American. So it's really sort of a presumptuous term. And I do notice a lot of people going back to using, you know, the term black. And again, it's all in the intent, as far as I'm concerned. I don't intend any... I'm not using it in a pejorative fashion. I'm just using it as the descriptive term. I'm a white person. I'm not really white, although I'm whiter than most. But it's not meant as any sort of put down or anything like that. But anyhow, I didn't realize that she was black. I did know that she does have some affiliations, or at least the look of, and I don't mean her look, it appears that she's affiliated, has in the past or even currently, with some groups such as the Muslim Brotherhood. And again, I'm not tying her to anything, but there are some things that have tied her to that. And so that was part of the tweet. But the other part was comparing her to Planet of the Apes, which clearly is racist, clearly is way out of the bounds of normal accepted speech. And so before we kind of dive into me talking about this and kind of all the different avenues that this can take us on, I'm not defending Roseanne. I'm not putting down ABC for firing her from her TV show, which incidentally put about 150 people out of work. They have every right to do it. I support the NFL in enforcing their policy about the national anthem. The policy was actually already in place. They've just announced that they're going to enforce it, and that there will be fines if people kneel or do other disrespectful things during the national anthem. And I support that. And I support it because... not because I don't think people have the right to protest, and it's not a First Amendment issue. The NFL is a private business. They're not the government. The First Amendment protects you from the government. It doesn't protect you from other people, at least in most cases. And businesses are allowed to set their own rules of conduct. If you work for McDonald's, you shouldn't be at the counter telling people how great your sandwich was at Chick-fil-A. They're going to frown on that, and you're probably going to get fired. If you want to do that away from work, I wouldn't suggest doing it on social media, but if you're talking in private to your friends and, you know, you think Chick-fil-A is great, even though you work at McDonald's, I don't see any problem with you voicing that opinion, but you can't do it at the counter at McDonald's, and they have every right to fire you for that. So I support the NFL in their position. And, you know, there's an interesting thing. I'm a big Golden State Warriors fan, but I don't watch them for their political views. I watch them because they're good basketball players, and I grew up in the Bay Area, and that's my team. But apparently with Greg Popovich from the San Antonio Spurs getting a little older, and maybe he'll retire from coaching, you know, someday, probably a lot sooner than Steve Kerr, who coaches the Golden State Warriors. I guess Steve Kerr wants to fill his shoes, move into his spot, not as the coach of the Spurs, but as the politically active NBA coach that says some ridiculous things. And what I'm talking about was when the NFL announced their new policy, he decided during an interview to really attack the NFL and say how wonderful the NBA was with supporting their issues and with, you know, supporting the athletes. And they do. They do support the athletes in getting their grievances out there into the public. I think the NBA even sponsors some of the ads they've done where they're promoting a certain cause. And that's all well and good, but he ignored the fact that the NBA has the exact same rule as the NFL is going to be enforcing, and they have for quite some time. There was a player that created some controversy, some political controversy, and I don't recall exactly the date of this. It would have been probably in the late 90s, maybe the early 2000s, and Abdul Raouf, I think, was the last name of the player, and he created some controversy. And the NBA decided to institute their rule about the national anthem, and they've had it ever since. So I respect Steve Kerr to have his own opinions. I don't agree with a lot of his political opinions. And I think he's a wonderful coach. He's done a great job with the Warriors. Clearly, they're in the finals again. But what he said on that day in that interview was completely hypocritical, because he was praising the NBA while attacking the NFL when they have now the exact same policy. So what I'm getting at with all of that was, I support the NFL and the NBA in having that policy because they are businesses that present a product. And what the NFL found out was their product was being harmed by allowing the kneeling and the protests during the anthem. A lot of people that watch football are average patriotic Americans that think that it's a slight to the troops and a slight to the country to present your protest during the anthem. And whether you agree with that or you don't, and I happen to agree with that, I think it's disrespectful. I think there's other ways. I mean, some of these athletes have Twitter followings that are in the millions. They can reach a lot more people more effectively through Twitter than they can by disrespecting their own fans. And again, I know a lot of people don't see it that way. They don't see it as disrespectful. But I mean, the freedoms that this country affords everyone, and they afford them equally, whether they can be attained equally, that's another issue, and that's, those are more societal issues. But the rights that the country gives, and I mean, you know, to go back in time and, oh, well, the founders, you know, were slaveholders and all of that, we can't apply 2018 sensibilities to what happened in the 1700s and 1800s. That's just not a fair way to do things. And the documents that they gave us that created this country as a country of laws and not a country of men, it allows for injustices to be fixed. We got rid of slavery. We were one of the first Western countries to rid ourselves of slavery. Slavery has existed for as long as man has existed, and it still does. But we eliminated it. Our country was, you know, not that old, and we were able to eliminate it. So our Constitution, our Declaration, allow us, you know, to do those things. So again, I kind of get off on a tangent as I tend to do, but so I find it offensive. But I mean, it's not a hill I want to die on necessarily. It's a free country; people can do what they want. But I support private businesses from protecting their product. So let's circle this back now to Roseanne and some of the other people that I'm going to mention. I support ABC in firing Roseanne. Now, it has created a bit of a double standard, because there's a lot of other examples of people that have said, you know, terrible things. They're not all racist necessarily, but I'm not sure that racism should be the only bar that we use, and it shouldn't necessarily be the highest bar that we use. If something's offensive, it shouldn't matter why it's offensive. If it's offensive, we should call it as such. So, you know, I support Roseanne being fired, but I do support her ability to say what she wants to say on Twitter or any other place. But you're gonna take the scorn, and you're gonna take the in this case being fired, because you know you said something that most of society thinks is offensive. So Roseanne Barr was fired, and I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with some other people I'm going to mention that they aren't fired or they are fired, but I think they're creating a double standard. And again, these people all work for companies, and if they decide that their product is okay, then they're more than welcome to keep employing these people. But that doesn't mean what these people said wasn't offensive and doesn't deserve the scorn, at least of the general public. And some examples were just this week, Samantha Bee. And most of you are going, who? Because I was going, who? I'd heard of her, but I mean, the ratings of her show are so low that I'm not sure how anybody even knew she said something offensive, because nobody watches her show. So it must have leaked. It was probably a leak. That's what it was. So she said something. I'm not going to describe what she said. I'm not going to repeat what she said, other than it was a vulgar term she used, very vulgar. And she directed it toward Ivanka Trump, the daughter of the president. And it was a hateful and disgusting thing to say. And she still has her job. She's not losing her show, at least last I heard. She gave an apology. Of course, Roseanne Barr gave an apology, and she said a few more crazy things. And that comes as no surprise. Roseanne has been, Roseanne Barr has some mental issues. I really believe that. She's been off the rails her entire career, her entire public life. She's said crazy things. She supports President Trump, but she was as on some other issues. She's as left wing as anybody else. So, you know, there's no figuring her out. So this doesn't come as a surprise, but it reminded me of some other things that have happened recently. You know, they had the White House Correspondents' Dinner a while back. They invited, I guess she's a comedian, although I didn't really find her to be funny, which is sort of the definition of comedian. And her name was Michelle Wolf, and she said some pretty horrible things about the White House spokesperson Sarah Sanders, who was in the audience. She was there. It was the White House. Now, the president didn't go, and he's made a point of not going to those events, and that's his prerogative. But Sarah Sanders, among one or two other Trump officials or Trump employees, were attacked pretty viciously by Michelle Wolf, and she was lauded for it. She was celebrated for it. And that's where I want to kind of take it back to the racism aspect of this. Again, I would never say that racism isn't horrific. It's terrible. But why is attacking someone like Roseanne did and comparing someone who happens to be black, and again, I don't know her origins, so I'm going to call her black, Valerie Jarrett, comparing her to Planet of the Apes, which we know an ape reference toward a black person is a common attack in the past and even probably in the present. So I'm pretty sure that Roseanne Barr knew that, even though she says she didn't, I think she knew she was black. At the very least, it doesn't excuse what she said. But why do we rise that above Michelle Wolf attacking Sarah Sanders for her looks? She made some crude remarks about what her makeup looked like and her hair, and you know that it. And again, I'm not going to repeat these things, but because it doesn't have a racial component, does that make it somehow not as bad as what Roseanne Barr tweeted? I don't think so. I think when you attack a person under any circumstances, where especially related to their appearance and the color of your skin is your appearance, I'm sure there are people out there that are racist and they think the way the white supremacists think that it's a lesser race, that the African race is a lesser race or whatever, however you want to characterize it. But that's not a common thinking among most people, at least not people that I know that I've come across in my lifetime. I've known some pretty hateful people, but even some of them, they weren't to the level of white supremacist. And so I would put it out there that what Michelle Wolf said is just as offensive as what was tweeted by Roseanne Barr. And there's some other ones that I would put at or about the same level. Of course, Joy Behar always making the news. She's a host on The View, another unwatchable show. I believe that's on ABC too. So, you know, go figure. But so we've attacked ABC, TBS, HBO. Michelle Wolf is of course part of HBO. She'll probably have her own show soon based on the way things have been going. But Joy Behar once compared Mike Pence's faith, his religious faith, she called it a mental illness because he believed in the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, I was a little surprised when she made the comments that she wasn't immediately attacked by some of her co-hosts who claimed to be Christian, and she was challenged, but not to the level that would deserve, and at least in my opinion. Another person we've been hearing about, Joy Reid, works for MSNBC, and more has been coming out about Joy Reid. She's made homophobic tweets, homophobic blog posts. There's been some more stuff coming out, and I don't have all the details on that. But MSNBC, not only did they not discipline her, not fire her, but she was recently on a show where she was asked about the Roseanne Barr incident with the tweet. And I thought, wow, that's rather interesting, since I would not want to be judging others when my record is pretty disgusting about a different topic. She was going after gay people instead of black people. But again, to me, that's equal. You're it doesn't matter, you know. And again, with Sarah Sanders being attacked, it was attacking her looks, the way she looked. She has some control over that, how she dresses or whatever, but she, short of plastic surgery, which is for the vain or the injured, you know, it's not fair. And I put it right up there with all of what these other people have done. And so I look at all that. And again, I support the corporations to do what they want to do. If they don't want to fire the person, don't fire the person. If they feel like their product has been harmed, in the case of Roseanne, ABC fired her. I'm okay with that. But societally, we're setting up a double standard that the media will protect the people that they like, the more progressive liberal people in most cases, not always, but in most cases, and they're more than willing to cast aside the ones that they don't. Now, in Roseanne's case, Roseanne Barr is not a conservative. She's not a Republican. I mean, she may be voting Republican now because she likes Donald Trump. She has a relationship with Donald Trump. She's known him for years. But let's not pretend she's the beacon of conservatism, because she's not. I mean, her show was proof of that. There was, other than her making a few remarks in the initial episode about supporting Trump and making fun of her sister, who was clearly more progressive and more liberal, the show is not conservative. The show is actually very liberal. The original show was very progressive, very liberal. For better or for worse, I watched it for years. I didn't care for the last several years of the show when the kids got older. But I enjoyed the show back in the day. It was funny. It was a good escape. You didn't have to think too much to watch that show. But again, I support the corporations doing what they want to do. But I think this country, we need to take a stronger look at racism. As somebody that didn't vote for the previous president, President Obama, I was often, either directly or indirectly, usually on social media, I was called a racist because I disagreed with what the president was doing. Well, I don't really care what color he was. I felt like his policies were more socialist than I would like. Not quite Bernie Sanders socialist, but nonetheless, we had Obamacare, which I was completely against. But there was also some racial incidents that I felt he was on the wrong side of. The first one being what turned into the beer summit, where a professor friend of his that was a black man got into an altercation with an officer, and he was wrong. All the evidence showed that he was out of line. The officer did nothing wrong. But of course, we were all told that the white officer was a racist because this was a black man and a professor, and he was treated unfairly. So, and of course, all the facts come out that the officer was completely within his, you know, the duties that he's supposed to uphold and he's supposed to carry out, and he did nothing wrong. But of course, Obama being more, thinking more about race and applying race to the filter of race to almost everything he did, and for better or for worse, I mean, that's not always a bad thing. I'm not saying that. But he took the side of his friend, the professor, and of course they had the beer summit. Well, the beer summit was not to solve the problem between the officer and the professor. The beer summit was to save face for the president because he commented about something he knew nothing about. He took the side of the person that happened to be wrong, and he looked bad. So it started with that, and then it went on with things like, you know, Trayvon Martin case and all these different ones that really have zero effect on 320 million people's lives, but they wanted to promote a narrative of racism. And then when once we can establish that there's all of this racism out there, then we can apply it to people. We can push it on to people. This most recent thing with the two gentlemen that were kicked out of a Starbucks and that the police were called. From all accounts, the manager at this Starbucks in this particular case, she is a social justice warrior in her life away from her job and was just following the protocol that the company had given for them. Now we've seen what they've done since then, and I'll talk about that just a little bit. But by all accounts, this was not a woman with, you know, any racist tendencies of any sort. Again, she, you know, was for all sorts of social justice causes, and nobody that knows her, or nobody that shops in that, or that, you know, frequents that Starbucks would ever accuse her of being racist. But because the two gentlemen were black, of course, everything's racism. And Starbucks bought the story. I mean, they moved her out of that store. I don't know if she was fired or not, but she was taken out of that store, and they closed down for half a day the other day for implicit biased training. Now, again, they're a corporation. They can do whatever they want to do. But first of all, everybody has implicit bias of some sort, whether it has to do with race, whether it has to do with your job. I'm not allowed to complain about NBA referees on Facebook because I have a friend that's a referee and he gets really upset about it. And that's his prerogative. I don't happen to agree with him. When I see something being done poorly in my industry, I don't defend them and say, oh no, all landscapers are wonderful. I call a spade a spade, but it's his prerogative. If he wants to be the defender of all referees, that's fine. That's his deal. But I try and stay off of that subject on Facebook as much as I can because he's my friend and I don't want to offend him. And so I guess where I'm kind of going with this is that the corporations can do what they want to do, and they're welcome to do that, but you're not going to solve implicit bias. And implicit bias testing has been proven to be completely unreliable and inaccurate, because if you know you're taking the test, you can answer the questions in a way that will make the results go a certain way. And it's really easy. You know, it's not like an SAT where if you give the wrong answer, it's the wrong answer. You're not going to get credit for it. The implicit bias test doesn't know if you're being honest. It doesn't know if you're, you know, if you're trying to beat the test. But that's what Starbucks wanted to do, and that's what they did. There was another incident, I think, here in Oregon, up in Portland, where a restaurant was closing and some people came through the door that happened to be white, and they told the people as they came through the door, well, we're closing, but you can be the last customers. And about 2 minutes later, some more people came in, and they happened to be black, and they were told, no, we're closed. We're sorry. We can't serve you. And the manager and I think one other employee lost their job, even though they were following company policy that we close at whatever time it was, 9 o'clock, and they did what they're supposed to do when you work in a supermarket, when you're ready to close your line. You have a little sign you put out that says the line is closed, and you might see someone walking over and you say, come on over and you'll be the last one. And you put the sign down, you turn your light off, and your line is closed. And if somebody comes and gets in the line, you politely tell them, I'm sorry, this line is closed. I have to go on my break soon. That the company requires me to do that. And you'll have to go to another line. And that's what happened in this restaurant. But the restaurant didn't care. They want to look good with the PC crowd. So they fired these two employees. And all is good. Except all isn't good because that wasn't fair. But again, they're a private company. They're welcome to do what they want. But in a situation like that, that's going to be a restaurant I'm probably not going to go to because I think those employees were treated unfairly. And I think that that was not the right way to handle that. I don't think what Starbucks is doing, and what bothers me in the Starbucks incident is that nobody would accuse the Starbucks of being anything but a progressive company. So the idea that because there was one or two incidents in one of their, I presume they have hundreds of stores, maybe over 1,000. I don't know how many stores they have. It's a lot. And, you know, one of the instances, maybe there was some racism with not letting someone use the restroom. Even that case, it's really hard to know. You know, a little bit of video is not proof of anything if you don't know what the context of the video, if you don't know what happened before the video was done and what happened afterwards. It doesn't prove anything, but, you know, maybe it was racially motivated. I don't think the case where the two men were, where the police were called, was a case of racism. It was a case of two guys being jerks, basically. They were told, you know, if you want to stay here, you have to buy something. That was the company policy. And they argued and said, we're just waiting for someone. We're just going to stay. And whoever they were waiting for didn't show up before the manager finally called the police. There's just no evidence that this was racially motivated. Maybe it was, but there's no evidence of that. And Starbucks overreacted, in my opinion. They bowed to the pressure, and what happens is it creates a situation where you've empowered this behavior of getting your way based on your race, on the way you look, and it's a dangerous road to go down. And again, they're a private company. They're welcome to do what they want to do, but you know, if those kinds of things continue with a company like Starbucks, I'm not for boycotts. I wouldn't promote, you don't go to Starbucks, but maybe I won't go if I think that they're, you know, giving in too much to this kind of stuff. And the other problem that happens, and I'm going to run out of time in this segment, which is probably if some of you are thankful for, is this constant cry of racism. It starts to become the girl who cried wolf. That syndrome is starting to take hold because it's so overused. The term racism is so overused. And so I think that creates a problem. I've got to take my break here, and I'll be back with more Rogue Talk. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Missouri Governor Eric Greitens has officially resigned from office. Greitens' resignation today turns the reins of government over to Lieutenant Governor Mike Parson, who is to take the oath of office as governor later Friday evening. Greitens announced Tuesday that he would resign after months of fighting allegations of sexual and political misconduct. He had campaigned as a political outsider, and he ended up serving less than a year and a half in office. He had been facing possible impeachment in the Missouri House and a felony charge in St. Louis for using a charity donor list for political fundraising. A prosecutor agreed to drop the donor list charge in exchange for Greitens' resignation. A separate prosecutor is still considering whether to file a felony invasion of privacy charge stemming from an extramarital affair in 2015. On Wall Street, the Dow by 219 points. The NASDAQ rose 112. The S&P advanced 29. This is SRN News.
Keeping you informed. Giving you the good news. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge. Your hometown voice.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N...
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. A study says more public pension funds are at risk of running dry in a slowing economy. Researchers at the Pew Charitable Trust say Kentucky and New Jersey are the most vulnerable. If the pension fund is depleted, the state would have to pay retirees from workers' contributions and the current budget rather than from investments. Pew ran the so-called stress test for the pension funds in 10 states. Twitter says it will require U.S. political advertisers to identify themselves and certify they are in the U.S. by verifying a mailing address. The company says the new rules will apply to any advertising that seeks to influence the outcome of an election. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 75 points. With business, I'm Dennis Crowley.
Back to Rogue Talk, and just to kind of go back just a second here to kind of summarize, I was running out of time in that segment, and the computer takes over if I run too long, and it just kicks me off. So, but kind of that last point I was making was we've become, and we do this with other things too. We've kind of become a society that misuses terms or abuses terms. Calling people Nazis has become more popular with a lot to do with President Trump being the president. That's not a term we should be throwing around. Calling people racist to me is a serious charge, and it shouldn't be something we take lightly. And so there's things like that where they get overused, they start to lose their meaning, they start to get ignored. And that's where I make the girl who cried wolf reference, is that if you're constantly calling people racists or Nazis or, you know, anything that doesn't really apply to them, it's just because you don't like them. It waters the term down, and over time it loses its meaning, and I think that's a dangerous place to go. A lot of people disagreed with President Obama the way he ran the country, just like a lot of people now disagree with President Trump, and whether it's how he runs the country or his personal life before he was the president. But they start throwing out these terms. You know, if you didn't like President Obama, you were a racist. If you voted for President Trump, you're a Nazi. And I mean, this predates those two men. It goes back to other things too. So I just think it's something that we should be careful with. And fortunately for those that don't like sports, I'm going to run out of time to talk about what I was going to talk about. Maybe we'll save that for another day. Of course, we know Rooster Crow is coming up. That'll be the end of June. The Chieftain Booster Club has a golf tournament, their second annual golf tournament, to support athletics at Rogue River Junior Senior High School. That's on July 21st. If you're interested in that, you can contact the school. And also over at the high school, the drama department is presenting Harvey. This weekend is their second weekend of presenting that. Tonight and tomorrow night, I believe the show starts at 7. Doors open at 6:30. Tickets are sold at the door. And so go out and support those kids. And everybody be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice. 94.3 The Bridge. Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.